Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.
On the line is Nick Costos, host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check the latest lines on the BetMGM app. Catch You Better You Bet weekdays 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern and You Better You Bet countdown to kickoff Sundays 11 to 1, leading you up to kickoff on the BetMGM network on the Odyssey app.
Hey, hey. Nick, how are you?
What's going on, gentlemen? How are we today?
Hi, Nick. We are good. We're debating holiday things here before we get during the break. On the air yet. We have plenty of debate coming up here. I'm going to throw it out there anyway. Jeff just looked at a box of cookies.
Oh, Andy.
Sorry. He looked at a tin of cookies and they were assorted home cookies. And did you say they were overrated or underrated? Jeff?
I didn't say either.
Jeff, why be so...
I said, are you a fan? Because we have Nick on the phone.
Yeah, I know,
he's
but
our
you know
Odyssey
what?
Sports betting
Do you
insider.
Think Nick doesn't oh, listen, talk about yeah, things I, other than betting every once
yeah,
in a while?
I love Christmas. So is the thought that just homemade cookies are overrated?
You get the whole big tin of 75 different types of cookies, and they all end up tasting the same.
No, they if they're bad,
yes.
Then they end up tasting the same.
Well, you tell them, Nick.
Oftentimes, they're not good.
Well, you guys, listen. I'll be a New York elitist here. You got to come to New York. I'll take you to a bakery in Manhattan or in Brooklyn, and we'll get you one of those tins of cookies where all of them are absolutely delicious.
That's
now,
awesome.
If I had to power rank the cookies that are in the hypothetical tin, right?
Yes.
I actually think the number one choice, and it's funny how your taste changes as you get older.
Yes.
If you had asked me this question 20 or 30 years ago, I would never have touched this cookie. But I think it's actually my favorite now that it would be in a tin like that. The Linzer tart, I think, is the number one choice.
What is that?
The Linzer tart are it's the two pieces of I don't even know how to describe it.
I gotta look it up.
Two butter cookies, and there's a fruit filling or a jelly in the middle. It's like a sandwich cookie, Linzer cookie, Linzer. Absolutely delicious when done well. That would be in my number one. And then you get the pistachio cookie that used food color, the green coloring to make it green.
Oh,
that would be my second choice.
I know what those are. Yeah, no, those are clutch. Anything with the filling. Kolachkis are the big deal here, man. We eat them. My wife makes
How
them.
How do you
They're
spell kolachkis?
I'm not a spelling expert, nor do I do math either.
Oh, I got it here. Here we go.
Kolachkis, they're really good. And then you put the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
These are Polish-filled cookies. Yeah. So this is basically... That's the same thing as a Linzer tart, just in a different way. The Linzer tart's a Pop-Tart almost, just in terms of the way it looks.
Oh, yeah.
This is this looks pigs in a blanket almost with fruit filling.
What's
Delicious.
The over-under on the number of Linzer tarts I could eat? What do you think? Jeff, you want to get in there?
I want nothing to do with this.
He doesn't want to play along. Sometimes he's just, I have to string
well,
him
it's
on.
Cookies are, it depends, if you're sober, it's a little tougher with the cookies, because those are heavy cookies, maybe two or three.
Ah.
But, man, you do a little something, though, then maybe, and by a little something, I mean something that's legal. You could maybe polish off 8 to 10.
Good idea.
Right, there we go. All right, speaking of, does it depend on who the quarterback is this week, Browns, Ravens, or what? And it does, it seems Jackson's going to play, but.
Yeah, well, maybe. If there is one team that has not earned the benefit of the doubt with its handling of injury, specifically at the quarterback position, it is the Baltimore Ravens. So I'll just tell you guys, I'm in a guillotine league. Do you guys know what a guillotine league is in fantasy?
It doesn't sound good, but...
No, it's actually, the best thing ever. This is the first year I've done it. I'll be, 10 seconds on this. You draft a team, Mm-hmm. The lowest score each week, that team gets chopped and is eliminated. Mm. And then all the free agents enter the waiver pool and you get to bid on them. So you're strategic about how you spend your money, et cetera.
Wow.
And you just try and like survive that week. Like that's the most important thing. You don't have to score the most points. You need to not score the least. So in my guillotine league that I play with, like a lot of people, industry professionals in fantasy that I've become friends with over the years, I have Lamar Jackson as my quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like contemplating picking up another quarterback right now. Now, like, maybe the practice report comes out today, and he's good to go, and that's the end of it. But, you know, like, the Ravens, and Lamar specifically, and that's not even an insult. Like, there's been enough chicanery with Lamar. A couple years ago, they were on the road in Chicago. He was fine, and then they ruled him out, like, literally 90 minutes before kickoff with an illness. Like, where the hell did this come from? Wasn't on an injury report. So, I don't want to assume that everything's going to be good there. But if we do, just for the purposes of this conversation,
mm-hmm.
Baltimore is going to be somewhere in the range of 7.5, 8, 8.5. I don't think it would ever go down to 7 on the road at Cleveland. And the reason why the Browns, and I should say that this has happened before I give you the reason, the Browns have been the team that's gotten bet over the course of the week. So the Browns have been like the sharp betting side this week against Baltimore.
Mm.
And I think the reason is we have yet to see, since Lamar's come back, like this Ravens offense fully explode. And especially last week in Minnesota in the red zone, like they really couldn't convert touchdowns. They had the one touchdown to Rashad Bateman. Otherwise, it's a bunch of Tyler Loop field goals. And now you go into Cleveland and against this Browns defense. And I think, you know, the total is 39.5. Not a lot of points are expected. Can the Ravens score enough to pull away from Cleveland? I think the answer to that question is yes. I haven't bet the game yet, but I think that if I did, I would bet Baltimore. And just something to consider and something, guys, that I'm thinking about. And honestly, like, you guys and your audience will have a better idea of this than me because you're in it, right? The way I look at this, at the Browns moving forward, like literally every week, unless Dylan Gabriel has like a 500-yard, 5-touchdown performance, seems unlikely. It feels like he is at risk of an in-game benching, like at any moment in any game, which doesn't mean that he's going to get benched, but, you know, I'll invent a scenario for you guys, right? Gabriel throws 2 or 3 picks in the first half, and the Ravens are up 17-3. Who do you think plays quarterback in the second half for Cleveland? Do you still think it's Gabriel?
I'm going to be honest. Well, first of all, the one reason Kevin, I think, loves him is he doesn't turn the ball over. Look at last week. They had that, you know, ridiculous stat in the history of the game where they didn't turn the ball over. The other team had less than 170 yards offense, and he's just like, how do they do that? Kevin trusts him to not make mistakes, and that's why as long as he's not I see the scenario you're laying out about turning the ball over. Maybe that would be a reason Kevin would take him out. I just don't see it. Kevin is just so noisy when anyone asks him a question about Shador that I think he has no desire to put him in the game. But Jeff, do you agree?
No, I said earlier in the week, Nick, I think it's time that, and I don't think enough of a sample size on Dylan Gabriel to rule a guy's career over or anything like that, but
he's not a starter, right? Like, I think he'll be on a roster for 10 years.
He'll
be a good backup quarterback.
He hasn't looked it yet. I agree with that. But I think he's running the risk of, if he doesn't perform well at any time, you could pull the plug. And I agree with you. It could even happen in game. So I agree with you on that.
Here's just a betting thought on that. And, you know,
what do you do with that situation?
Yeah, it's really interesting, right? Because I would... And I brought up, and actually, you guys have unbelievable fans, right, of your show and just like Cleveland sports fans. You guys posted a clip of me talking about Shador taking all those sacks in the preseason.
Yeah, last
and
weekend.
I got some really creative insults, like beyond just like your voice sucks, which I get all, which is just like that's fine. Like, I appreciate the polarizing comments there, but you guys had some really creative. I appreciated that. The Browns fans did not like that. And I sincerely, like, I love the passion. Like, let's have an honest conversation about Shador and like what it could be. I think we know now. Like, we kind of know what Dylan Gabriel is. And I know what the point that you just made, which is, like, maybe he can actually look like a starting quarterback in the league. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. And I don't say that meanly. I just think that's kind of like he's going to be a backup quarterback. And that's totally fine for a third-round pick.
Backups are getting their own commercials now. Come on.
And I love those commercials.
They're
also funny.
Like, yeah.
It's funny. All those backups in the commercials are all starting this season. Like, Jacoby Brissett and Tyrod Taylor. I think we know what Dylan Gabriel is. Like, we don't know what Shador is. So, like, I think it wouldn't go well, but I...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas de DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12-3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.
I have to acknowledge, like, if we don't know, then it could also go well. Like, why can't he come in and play? I don't think that would happen, but, like, I don't know that. We haven't seen it. So, you know, one of the ways that I've thought about playing this game, and maybe this is slightly galaxy-brained, like, I want to see what the injury reports have, etc. I still have a couple days to make my decision, where if I really think and we get reporting that, like, Shadur could potentially play at some point, I think I would just bet Baltimore first half, and assuming, like, let's say Shadur comes out in the second half and plays. Like, maybe the Ravens kill them, and he takes a million sacks, or, like, maybe he's good. And I don't really, like, want to bet into that volatility pregame without knowing what it's going to be, so I'd try to, like, eliminate half the game and just bet on half the game with the first half. Just a couple ways I'm thinking about this one.
Can I bring up a bad memory?
Sure.
To last week where you told us Browns, I thought Browns, Andy thought Browns. The heck happened in that game?
Well, the Jets had like two kick returns. It's a pretty like wonky game.
How stunningly bad.
It's like because two of the worst teams in the league played a bad football game.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly right.
Yes.
How about our buddy Jameis Winston? What does that do for the Giants this week? What does that do maybe long term? Because I would think, even with an interim coach, they want to protect Jackson Dart.
Yeah, so Jameis is going to start on Sunday, obviously. I think as soon as Dart's ready to play, he's going to play. But that's obviously not going to be this week. So I have a contrarian opinion on this game. And I had two contrarian opinions last night in the NBA, and they were both very wrong. Like, I bet the Knicks against the Magic. Market moved towards Orlando. Orlando destroyed the Knicks, and Brunson got hurt. What a great game for me as a Knicks fan. And I bet the Spurs last night against the Warriors. Market moved towards Golden State. Golden State wins outright. Curry has the unbelievable game. So I think I'm going to do that again here. So the betting market now, and I predicted this on my show yesterday, and that's not to pat myself on the back. I just think it's like pretty obvious this is what's going to happen. And I'll try and run through this as quickly as possible. I think it'll make sense to people. Where with Green Bay, you obviously have, like, there are two straight losses, right? And Monday night was terrible against the Eagles in primetime, and, like, the Carolina loss was really bad. So you have kind of a negative public opinion right now with the Packers. And then with the Giants, you have, you know, Dable gets fired, and a betting angle that, like, a lot of people are into is, like, the dead coach bounce, the dead cat bounce, right? The fired coach bounce, where team fires a coach, you get a better effort from them in that first game. So you knew people would be interested in the Giants for that reason at a big number. And then when you add Jameis into the equation, and you guys know this as Browns fans, especially with, like, that game last year against Denver on Monday night, where Jameis is capable of throwing for A, 500 yards, B, 5 touchdowns, C, 5 interceptions, or D, all in the same game. So there's a lot of volatility associated with Jameis Winston. Whereas with, like, Russell Wilson, you know what you're getting. The Giants are not going to win, but maybe they keep the game close with Russell Wilson. Whereas now, I think a lot of people will talk themselves into maybe the Giants pulling the upset here with increased volatility with Jameis, where he can get really hot and throw for 4 touchdowns, and the Packers have been really struggling, and people are down on Green Bay. Now, I will just give you the Giants fan perspective here, which is, I think the Giants are terrible. I think they are absolutely dead team walking, and I think the Packers will slaughter them on Sunday. I will wait till the line goes down to 6.5, and I will bet Green Bay.
All right, bud. Say goodbye, my friend.
Wishing everybody minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. And you got to get the Linzer tarts.
Okay, I'm on it.
Get those Linzer tarts.
I am on it. Enjoy them. You're a good man. Thank you, Nick Costos. Take care, man.
You got it.
That was the host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary. For all of your betting and sports talk needs, check out the BetMGM network on the Odyssey app.
The amazing story of Luis Ortiz and Emmanuel Clase.
That's funny.
Dan, what's the latest on these two guys? I know they were indicted. What's going on with these guys?
So Luis Ortiz was arraigned yesterday and out on bond. He is not able to leave the country or go to a couple of different states, one of them being Ohio, in between there as well. Manuel Clase is supposed to appear today in court, be arraigned as well. We'll see where that goes from there. Supposedly, he's going to show up from what we heard from attorneys and all that stuff. He'd been supposedly in the DR. Sources say we don't know 100%. And there was a question for a little bit if he would actually come back to this, and he's coming back. So we'll see where it goes from there.
It's all interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, or he's pled not guilty. We'll see what Clase pleads.
I would assume if he's coming back. By the way, who pays for the plane ticket when you get... I'm just curious. Like, who pays for the plane ticket when you got to come back from the movie? By the way, you've been indicted. You need to come back. I'm assuming that if you believe you're innocent, you would have no problem paying for that plane ticket.
Paul Hoynes has done a great job. Hoynes's been all over this stuff.
Yeah.
Anybody in our country is innocent until proven guilty.
This is true.
Except in the court of public opinion.
This is also true.
When Hoynesy goes through everything and writes up what it is that they have, and they have specific text messages and everything else dating way back, I just think, I guess you have to plead not guilty just for the sake of getting into court, I guess,
That's true.
Trying to make your stance or whatever. But, man, it's what's in the indictment and everything is really specific. You don't get really specific on stuff unless there's stuff. Do you, Andy? I don't know.
When you get indicted, they're going to throw the book at you, right? They're going to find everything they possibly can.
But it's not like they're just making stuff up.
They
found stuff.
And then I would think prosecutors are like, okay, let's just say there are five things they really want to get someone on. They're going to find, 100 things that they possibly could get you on just for this and that, hoping that they're going to get to five. You know what I'm saying?
I keep thinking we're missing.
If I'm wrong, please tell me.
I'm missing some kind of big bit of information here
on the story itself.
Yeah.
You don't think this is just two knuckleheads? You think there's more to it?
I do. Because I have a hard time believing that these guys are such knuckleheads that they would throw away potentially tens of millions of dollars to pick up some pocket change. There's something that's got to be missing here. Mm. I mean, what's seriously, even though Clase's big money didn't kick in till next year, he's still making seven figures.
Yeah.
What's $7,000 to him?
Well, I mean,
some of the stuff is like that you see from the indictment that's been written up by Hoynesy, Jeff Passan as well, done a great job. It's like, hey, send that money to this person in the DR. Well, what's that all about? There was one thing that said that Clase told Ortiz, tell somebody that that's for like fixing up the house or something like that. And it's like, getting real specific on things. I just think there's something we're missing. And I don't mean that we're missing it. I mean that it hasn't come out yet. We'll see. Because I have a hard time believing that these guys would jeopardize tens of millions of dollars to pick up pocket change.
Well,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12-3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.
I don't know. I mean, you know, we say, let's just say, and I can't remember I'm trying to put this in words. What their future earnings were completely with bonuses and all that stuff, right? So, but you know, let's just say it was $1 million just for the sake of art. You're still paying 37% tax on $1 million of making. So I mean, you're still.
I'd be happy to pay 37% tax if I made $1 million.
It's also $370,000, right? On $1 million, that's $370,000.
That's good math.
Yeah. So, I mean, you look at that and you wonder, and then he took less.
Andy, you don't. You know, maybe we don't know what the guy's finances are.
Right. Absolutely, we don't. You're right.
And it's small change compared to what was looking at him the next 2 years.
Yeah, especially when you're the best closer in the game.
Well, he had double-digit millions of dollars the next 2 years under contract.
Before we get into a solution here, I want to talk to Arvin in Cuyahoga Falls. Hi, Arvin. How are you?
Hey, Arvin.
I am fine. How are you guys?
Good. What are your thoughts here?
Mr. Baskin, yeah. I was a resident security agent for baseball.
I know you very well, sir.
And I grew up on Altamont in the old neighborhood.
Very nice. So,
yes. And I want to just say a few things.
Sure.
Mr. Phelps, you are correct. After the arraignment, they will ask for discovery from the prosecutor. And that information, everything that was entailed in the investigation will be displayed to the defense. And yes, Mr. Phelps, there is a lot, I believe, is not shown. And spending 19 years with baseball, also with the police department, baseball does everything very well. It was an honor to be part of this organization. And believe me, they don't leave stones unturned. I think at the end of the day, a lot of people will be disappointed. For what I do for a living and all the cases I did my whole career, it was always the tip of the iceberg. It was always the string on the wool sweater. You start pulling that string, everything falls apart. When you read the affidavit and they say confidential informant, most likely that was a person that was given an opportunity to play on their team and not be prosecuted. So I feel very, very confident that when this comes out, a lot of people, especially the folks that are into baseball, are going to feel disappointed.
Yeah, Arvin, I'm curious, because Jeff and I were talking about this, and you are 100% a trusted source. I want people to know that, because we do know each other, so I'll put it that way. We're kind of kicking around when you look at the story from the outside. And you wonder about the Dominican Republic factor, because obviously laws are different there than they are here. I don't know. Does that set off any, like, hey, we need to look more, or hey, there might be some other stuff going on here, or just red flags for you?
The red flags for me, and I'm speaking as Arvin, not right. as an investigator.
Right.
But mind you, the investigators in MLB are retired FBI, law enforcement, even retired people from South America in law enforcement. Mm-hmm. My feeling is you're bringing up young men that $10 is more money than they've seen growing up. Mm-hmm. And suddenly they have money they don't know what to do with. They become very popular. People that are probably a little nefarious in that area, like everybody, like
sure.
organized crime everywhere, mm-hmm. comes to them and tells them what they can do and how well they can take care of their family. And a lot of times they turn the tables and suddenly become evil and say, you better do this or maybe something could happen to your family. It's an age-old problem. I've worked these cases. I've seen what they do. It's sad. These young kids, and they are young, suddenly are given hundreds of thousands of dollars, more money than they've ever seen in their life or their family. And they get enamored by the lights.
Hmm. Interesting. All right, Arvin, thank you. It's good to talk to you again, my friend. We appreciate it. I may call on you for more knowledge on this, just so you know.
Anytime you need.
Oh, you're a good man.
Thank you.
Take care, Arvin. Appreciate
you, Arvin.
Yeah, it legit, like 100% legit. That was interesting, wasn't it? Because, you know, both you and I had kind of kicked that thought around.
Well, there's something missing here.
Yeah, it's just. Well, one of the things we were going to talk about here before we started talking to Arvin, that, you know, is there a way to fix this? And, you know, micro bets are really kind of at the core.
Explain what those are.
They're bets on, is this going to be a ball or a strike? I mean, it's this tiny little bets within the game. Am I correct in everything I'm saying there? Is there more to it?
You can bet on pitch velocity. You can bet on all that kind of stuff, too. That's all part of this micro prop bet idea.
So, you know, Dan and I were talking about this before. I mean, Dan, do you actually think that the league could ban micro betting?
They could. I mean, they definitely, at least for their sponsors and all that kind of stuff, they could. They already put the $200 minimum on all of those bets in. Major League Baseball passed that into law along with all the gambling companies that you could think of. So that'll limit it somewhat. I don't think it's going to stop it. We'll see where it goes from there. But yeah, your solution might be to ban it and just say you can't take these bets on actual gaming websites,
okay, who,
I should say.
Yeah, but who is going to ban it? Like, I would think the only ones that could really ban it would be the pressure from the leagues to say, hey, like FanDuel, if it's fair to say, you know, although FanDuel doesn't have, I don't know, but they're partners. Like these betting sites are partners.
They're
with
all
the
partners with each other.
And so if the leagues themselves put pressure on them to say, guys, I mean, it's not right. I know we had talked about this last week with Nick, and Nick's like, well, what if you can't bet the under? What if the league start to stop them from doing that? We had a former detective call in that was talking to us about some of the things that were going on when he had the opportunity to cover professional sports. And a lot of those things were kind of, you know, hitting the button with us because Jeff and I have sitting here and we're like, there's something about this story just doesn't feel right. And we'll find out more, I think, was there stuff going on? I don't think there's any question there was stuff going on. And otherwise you wouldn't have had an indictment. The question is what kind of stuff was going on? And I don't, you know, sometimes
how
we watch,
deep, yeah, who, we, more you, people, what
you watch some of these movies and then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, you know, whether, you know, they're fictional, but someone had to think it up at some point and maybe it was based on truth. Some of the movies that you watch and you see, especially when we're talking about South American countries sometimes, right? I mean, that's fair, isn't it?
You can talk about anything, you know, there's, oftentimes they're outside pressures, and
yeah, that's it.
Who knows exactly what those pressures are?
You're fair. It doesn't. It really doesn't matter where you are geographically. It's just outside pressure.
Arvin laid it out real well.
Yeah. What he gave us was just a huge nugget of information. But then we get to the next point of the story, and we're like, okay, so what can baseball or the NBA or any of the other professional leagues? What can they do to kind of, you know, change the direction so that, you know, for years, you would be an outcast if you thought, well, Major League Baseball should be affiliated with said gambling site, right? And you'd be like, there's no way baseball would ever do that. Well, eventually, I think baseball, they like kind of put their arms up in the air. They're like, listen, people are betting on our game whether we like it or not. And there's legalized gambling going on in the country. And we might as well make money on, it's our product, right? So they end up partnering with companies. And by the way, their intelligence on who's betting legally, and we still don't know what's going on illegally, but legally goes through the roof because now they have a chance to monitor the trends that are going on. So if all of a sudden you see there's, you know, all kinds of big money going on in this micro bet that a pitcher is going to throw a ball for ball one, I mean,
the alarms go off.
Yeah. I mean, it seems pretty silly that anybody who plays the game thinks they can get away with it. That's the thing. And let's be honest, guys. I mean, if
what an obscure bet. That's the thing. And if there's a ton of activity on it, well, that's not just a red flag. I mean, you've got sirens going off.
No, but I mean, if look, Jeff, if you could bet and you knew that it was a 3-1 count, let's just go with this, right? It's a 3-1 count. And you know you've got one to waste. And now you've got the chance to bet on that because you're like, oh, there's no way this. If I was pitching or any normal pitcher knows in this situation they've got one to waste, it's probably going to be a ball. So
yeah, but you can't bet on the fifth pitch of an at-bat because you might not get to a fifth pitch of an at-bat.
No, but you could bet on the next pitch. You can do that. You, in the NBA, you can bet on the next basket. I mean, I'm just saying, that, and it gets back to what we're talking about, right? Micro betting. So, Dan, let's go back and just kind of rehash what we were talking about there, that I don't know how the leagues can – I think the leagues can mandate their own, but micro betting's not going to go away.
I mean, in what regard? I'm not trying to be a jerk when I say that. Like, are you talking like overseas? Are you talking like the guy down at the bar or the guy at the corner?
Let's say you have a company that owns a betting. You own a betting company.
Well, if you're
that's not affiliated with a major sport,
right? So that's going to be the other side of this. But how many of those are? I mean, at least that we know of, and I'm sure they are out there, and I'm sure there are a lot of people who can give me a giant list of them at any given point.
Mm-hmm.
Of the big ones, though, that's such a small percentage of betting. Now, is that going to send people down the rabbit hole to go to those? I have no idea. I have no clue. But I know the big ones the sports pair with. So that's one of the solutions that's out there is to just go, hey, we're done betting on first pitch strike. We're done betting on first pitch velocity. We're done dealing in any kind of bets in those regards because we're not making a ton of money off of it, and it's causing us more chaos than anything else.
So you actually think this is a solution. Good solution.
It might be the best one that's out there. I mean, so what's to stop this from happening again? Because clearly you've both been in clubhouses.
Mm-hmm.
They don't hide these penalties. They're plastered all over the place.
They're all over the place.
Right.
They don't want you on a phone anywhere exactly. near a clubhouse.
Exactly. So clearly, at least in one instance, those penalties were not strict enough for what took place. So how do we either A, increase the penalty that could take place, which I don't know how, or B, how do I prevent it from having to implement it again? And I think the best prevention we've got is to just say we're done. And especially if the gambling websites aren't making a whole lot of money off of them to begin with, they have every incentive to go, yeah,
we're take it off the board.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's clean this up, streamline it, make it better, eliminate a big potential source of trouble.
Yeah, the other thing I find interesting. But
there's still money involved.
I mean, so. Here, the other thing is like, and I'm just looking at this going, if you knew, like, it would be your mouth that would get you in trouble, right? That if you're a professional athlete that may be in a situation or the person that you're dealing with would be under investigation would be another way that you would get caught. But I just like, I've often wondered, I'm like, if you knew you were going to throw a ball to start the game, well, how many people would you actually tell? And then how many people would they tell? Because that's where you see the spike. That's what, we were talking about these micro bets, and that's how it got busted. Jim is in Strongsville. Hi, Jim.
Hey, guys. Well, first and foremost, if these guys go to jail, I mean, that should be a pretty big deterrent to anybody.
But true. Good point. Yeah.
We keep talking about what we are and aren't going to do with these micro bets. And, like, the only way, there's only a couple ways to really get rid of them. One, the sports folks can not take those bets.
Right.
But the problem with that is you guys keep saying, well, what the sports leagues make them bet. Listen, their partnerships exist where the books give the sports leagues money. So, like, the sports leagues don't technically have a ton of leverage to get them to stop it if they don't want to. What I think they're both trying to avoid is the one group that can do it, and that's Congress. They really want to avoid Congress getting involved and legislating that you can and can't do. So at the end of the day, I think anything that they do, the sports books-wise, is to avoid further interference or further regulation from Congress as to their business operations. Because at the end of the day, state legislatures can ban them. Congress can ban them. I mean, that's the only thing that can ban them. I mean, you guys say that, well, Major League Baseball say, we don't want those. Well, okay, we're not going to pay you any money. That's a revenue stream that these leagues have gotten used to. That's the only reason they partner with these people is because it gave them revenue streams. So, I mean, I think these guys going to jail, that's going to be a pretty big deterrent. I mean, and they're so sophisticated now that I think this is a lot to do. I think this thing is going to actually reform and really kind of like shake a lot of people's eyes open, because what's going to happen is, like, it's easy for these, the more sophisticated these sports books have gotten in the online, they see the spikes. And when you see somebody go to jail, it's like, well, I think that's going to be your biggest deterrent. I mean, that's how we deter everything else in society. These guys might go to jail. How much worse can it get? They lost millions of dollars and go to jail. So thanks, guys.
Good point, Jim. Thank you, Jim in Strongsville.
Bad combo.
Doesn't work. Jeff, I mean, we're a couple years into this now, too. And I remember sitting here with Les, and Les is like, they can't do that. People are going to run to the sports book from the stadium, and they're going to try to place a bet on a field goal at the end of the game. And I was looking at him like,
pull out your phone and do it from your seat.
Like, Les, you don't even have to move. You're not going to have to move. It's going to be right from your seat. And he had trouble understanding that concept. And then finally, I think he kind of got it. He's like, oh, yeah, I guess this is what you see. But it's just, it's interesting how we think about, you know, sports betting and sports gambling, how it's changed over the years where, you know, it used to be someone was calling someone Sunday morning and those little sheets were going around, right? And then, like, I always thought it was crazy when you would open up the newspaper. A newspaper is a thing that you open and turn pages for the kids. That you would open up a newspaper and it would have the daily line in there. And you'd be like, oh, that's gambling. Someone's actually looking at that. Rather than having, like...
You remember seeing those little sheets?
Oh, the parlay sheets?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all the time. You'd see them with her. I mean, and I was like, especially in college, like, guys are floating those all the time in college, and you're like, I'm like, whatever, I want to root for the Browns. That's always been my problem with fantasy and any kind of gambling. I'm never betting against my own team. It's half the fun of being a fan.
Problem with fantasy.
You want your...
There's no problem with fantasy.
What if Lamar Jackson was my starting quarterback and everybody else was hurt? And I'm not rooting for him to... My fantasy life, you know, rooting for the quarterback who's playing against my favorite team is a deterrent for me.
You root for your team to win 50-49.
That was why in the beginning when FanDuel came out, and, you know, I've been talking about them for years, was because of the weekly... fantasy. I like doing it because I never had to look at it and say, oh, look at this. I can pick a new team every week in fantasy. That was the attraction to me in the beginning. Cause I know you're in it. You're a long haul guy and you love that stuff. That's not me. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say you root for your team because you get rewarded for being good at what you do in the NFL. They reward ineptitude. So you may as well take your reward of ineptitude. Hey, we're incompetent. Thank you. Hand me my pick now. Oh, goody. We get a better pick for really not knowing what we're doing. Yay!
Welcome to Pro Sports.
Woo-hoo! Nice.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias, detalles en Lowe's.com.